Ambassador Oren, thanks very much for joining us on a busy day.
Thank you for having me, Michael. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
I woke up to the terrible news that there was a family having breakfast in their apartment where people were murdered, actually, this morning by a medium-range rocket out of Gaza. Can you explain to everybody what happened?
It was a rocket that struck the town of Kiryat Malachi, which is in central Israel. It was a rocket that has a longer range than a short rocket, than a medium range rocket, but a shorter range than a long range rocket, something intermediate. It's a rocket that we've known about, that we haven't actually seen used in combat yet. And it struck an apartment in an area where people didn't think they were within rocket range. And so this family was caught on guard quite tragically. Two babies were also were injured in that blast. The pictures of one of those wounded infants has caused the source of great sadness throughout the state of Israel.
I can imagine. Do you must, Mr. Ambassador, if you don't know, no one does. Why did they start up? Why did they start this latest series of rocket attacks that have now escalated with Israel killing, and it's not an assassination. I hate the application of that word to this kind of situation. Israel killed the leader of the military wing of Hamas yesterday, but that was only in response to already this profound escalation by Hamas and the Palestinians. Why are they doing it now?
Because they can, Michael, or they think they can. Before our operation against Ahmed Jabari, the military commander of Hamas, Hamas had fired in the last month alone 800 rockets at a million Israelis in the south who either had to huddle in bomb shelters or be within 15 seconds running distance from a bomb shelter. The entire life in the south was paralyzed, was terrorized. He himself, Mr. Jabari, was responsible for dozens of terrorist attacks. He had the blood of many dozens of Israelis on his hands, including two soldiers who were killed at the same time that Jabari kidnapped Gilad Shalit, an Israeli soldier who subsequently spent 5 years in Hamas captivity. Before this, since the last Gaza operation in January 2009, the southern part of the country has been hit by over 2,500 rockets. Can you imagine that? And Israel has exhibited superhuman restraint in not responding in military in large military action. We've agreed to a series of ceasefires. Each ceasefire has been violated by Hamas, and with increasing frequency, those ceasefire periods have grown shorter and shorter. And I reached a point where no country in the world, no government in the world, could have a situation where a million of its inhabitants, would be the equivalent of about 40 to 50 million Americans, were cowering in bomb shelters. Just can't have that. And Hamas and the other terrorist groups in Gaza, all of which are backed by Iran, Gaza is basically an outpost of Iran, felt that they can get away with it, felt that they could shoot at us with impunity. Perhaps the international community would shield them. Maybe they felt that if they shot behind their own civilians, used them as human shields, we would be deterred. But at the end of the day, Israel has to take all and any measures necessary to protect its civilians.
Operation Pillars of Defense, which is the name of the new Israeli operation, has been limited to airstrikes. What is the latest on the future of that operation?
Well, we are continuing airstrikes as we speak now. The Israeli Air Force has conducted several hundred sorties to eliminate long-range missiles to the degree that we can. Now, middle-range missiles we're focusing on, as well as on missile launching sites and factories where they make these missiles. But we're also preparing any option, including a ground option. About 30,000 Israeli reservists have been called up, and their forces are assembling along the Israel-Gaza border. We hope that we will not have to resort to ground action. We hope that Hamas will get the very strong message we have sent them, and that they'll stand down.
It's one of those things that is just so deeply frustrating, because Americans tend to look at our government and think, I think rightly so, that We have a very powerful military. We have a profoundly influential role in the world. Why do you think that the United States and the United Nations and the so-called world community and so-called civilized opinion have found it so completely impossible to just stop these particular fanatics and Hamas, who don't even represent the Palestinian Authority, but to stop these fanatics from throwing over, what is it, 8,000? It's almost numberless volumes of rocket attacks. Why can't that be stopped by the world community?
Well, they have about 12,000 rockets in their arsenal, just for factual sake. Well, we've had extraordinary support from the United States, I must say, whether it be on the political level, from the White House, from the Congress, across the aisle, bipartisan support for Israel's right to defend itself, around complete condemnation of Hamas as a terrorist organization. And not just verbal support, Michael. We've received support for our vital anti-ballistic defense system, Iron Dome, which has just performed remarkably in this latest round of fighting. There have been about 360 rockets fired at us since the outbreak of this latest round of fighting. About a third of them have been taken down by Iron Dome. And keep in mind that Iron Dome only intercepts those rockets that are going to land in populated areas. The other ones are going to fall in fields or on the beach. Iron Dome leaves them alone. So that's been an extraordinary accomplishment for a joint American-Israeli anti-missile system. We have the means, we have the ability to defend ourselves. What we need is the space. What we need is the diplomatic time and latitude to do that. And we hope that not just the United States, but like-minded and, as you say, civilized nations in the world will realize that Israel has this right to defend itself, and it needs to take the means at its disposal and use them to ensure the security of all of its citizens.
Okay, let's say that Israel gets the time and the ability to actually go in and clean out the rocket launchers and clean out some of the military terrorist cells. If that happens, then what happens? What happens next?
Well, we can't convince the Palestinians for them that the Hamas regime brings them no future, brings them no prosperity, certainly no peace. We can't convince them that the Hamas terrorist organization and others in Gaza invest in bringing 12,000 rockets in there, but invest nothing in education or infrastructure, no universities. We can't convince them. They have to make up their minds for themselves. What we can do is ensure that the terrorist leaders in Gaza understand that if they're going to fire rockets at Israeli civilians, try to mass murder our population, that they will pay a prohibitive price, a very steep price. And they have to internalize that. And until they do, there will be no peace along that border.
We only have a few moments more, but Israel, if Hamas were to stop the attacks, Israel could coexist side by side with Hamas?
Well, I put it this way. They stay on their side of the border, we stay on our side of the border. What they do is their business, as long as they're not shooting at us.